couple minutes tonight just to speak to the church. And I guess want to give a brief testimony and also tell you thank you to the church for allowing me to serve here. It's just it's a privilege. It's an honor. Thank you for the honor this morning. And I want to be an encouragement to maybe some young men that are here at the church that are coming through an awesome week of our fall jubilee, hearing some choice men of God preach the word, and just reflecting back on my life as a young man. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1 says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." A good work. I can remember as a young man, God blessed me with being able to be in church as a young child, seeing my family saved when I was young, and God changed their life, as God does. Changes lives, and they got church and became faithful. So my life, I got to grow up faithful to church. I got to go to church, and I can remember as a young man visiting my grandma, and as grandparents do to their grandchildren, ask them, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And as a young man, I remember telling my grandma, "I want to be a preacher." And wasn't too many years after that, I kind of changed my mind about that when I realized what it takes to be a preacher. You know, you have to get up in front of people and speak. But I can remember as a young man just thinking, you know, that is great to be a man of God. To just be taught that was a good thing. As the Bible teaches, that if a man desireth the office of the bishop, he desireth a good thing. But then God started working on my heart as a teenager about preaching the word. And many people that knew me growing up, I was I would consider myself an introvert. I wasn't one that would be out front of the crowd, be a leader. I was just an introvert, kind of kept to myself. I thought, me being a preacher, that's just something that's not going to happen. It's something that, you know, a lot of people say, "God can't use me. I'm not talented that way." But it's true. If God calls you, and He enables you. It took me, I wrestled with it for a little bit about surrendering, actually a year I wrestled, and then I finally came forward and made it public that I was called to preach, and I surrendered, and it's one of the greatest things I ever did, because I realized by God putting His servants in my life and good role models in my life and hearing men of God preach and seeing the faithfulness and seeing that, I realize that's a good thing. That's a good thing to want to be a preacher. And I say to the young men here, if you desire to be a preacher, that's a good thing. If you can look at men of God and say, "Hey, I want to be like that. I want to be used of God." And God doesn't call you to preach. You just had that desire. "I want to be used of God. Whatever God has for my life, that's what I want. I want God to use me." And I just realized that it is a good thing. It was scary at first. Still is scary. Because you realize that when you preach the word of God, there's lives hanging in the balance. There's needs that God wants to meet their needs. And He's using you as a tool to preach His word that's powerful. And if you don't take it serious, you know, that can cost someone their life. But it's a privilege. It's just a privilege. And I just wanted to encourage, you know, that's a good work. It's a good work. And I'm thankful, just honored that God would use a little old scrawny, and I used to be scrawny. Not so much anymore, but I used to be scrawny. Little introvert boy. Be a preacher. I thank you, Brother Fox, for sharing which you did tonight. I'm done, but I just wanted to thank you. I was an adult before I actually heard of John Leland, and grew up and lived around this area. And it's just a shame that we're forgetting our history, and that we were founded as a godly nation, and God used men of God to find this nation and direct this nation. And I work in D.C. all the time, and in our nation's capitals, there's monuments and writings and things giving honor to God that these people just don't know they're there. Even on top of our Washington Monument, there's an inscription right on the spire. I believe it says, "Laus Deo." Praise be to God. Right on the top of the Washington Monument. Years didn't know that was there. And we are forgetting, and it's people that, if you don't know John Leland, encourage you, as he was encouraged, look him up. Great history there. I want to pass the mic on, Pastor. Thank you, church.
BJ, Brother David, you come on up. Pastor David. Appreciate Pastor BJ. Pastor BJ does he and Sister Betty do a great job with our children's ministries. And I appreciate them. I really do. And Pastor David, well, he works with our teenage group. It's a motley crew.
Yeah.
But they're coming around. Fine young people. And I appreciate Pastor David. I've asked him to say a word. Pastor Brandon, if you'd come on and you can see it, and then we'll hand it off to you, Pastor David.
All right, you're right there in 1 Timothy. You can stay right there, and I'm going to read a verse, and then we'll go somewhere else. I was thinking this afternoon, and it's funny, Pastor BJ gave a little bit of his testimony. And my testimony and his testimony, as most of you know, are just about as opposite as two testimonies can be. But it just shows God can use anybody from any background in his work. And I thank the Lord for that. My testimony is more of like chapter 1, similar. Chapter 1, verse 12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which was in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And sometimes I feel like the Apostle Paul. Sometimes I feel like I'm the chief of sinners. But God, in spite of that, saved me and enabled me and put me in the ministry, and I thank him for it. I really do. The greatest things that have happened in my life is no doubt the fact that God saved me, my family, and God put me in the ministry. And I know that I'm in the ministry because God enabled me. So I just praise the Lord for that. And I thank you, church family, for allowing me. I was thinking this afternoon about those of you that allowed me to work with your children, your young people, teenagers. I just praise the Lord that God's given me such a great place to minister and to do what I do. I couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for people to do it with. And so I thank you, church family, for being so good to me. I've been blessed. I'm a blessed man. Brother Brandon's been in numerous churches in his life. Pastor BJ's been in a couple churches. I've really only ever been in one church. I got saved in another church, but it wasn't long after I got saved I came to this church. And really, my entire 12 years of salvation, of walking with the Lord's been in one place, and God's been good to me. And so the only church I know is Fellowship Baptist Church. And a lot of people tell me I just don't know what I'm missing in a negative way. But I'm blessed. I'm in a good church. A lot of people have nightmare stories about church experiences. And all I can tell you is my experience in church has been a great one. And so I praise the Lord for that. Thank you, church family, for making it great. I want to share this, and I'm going to be out of the way. John chapter number 1. I actually came into church tonight wondering what I was going to speak on. I thought about 1 Timothy, those verses I just shared with you. But as I was coming in the building and then sat down and was the pastor opened up the service tonight, God gave me a thought, and I began to just think on it a little bit, and I turned to this passage of scripture. And I just want to kind of give you a little bit of thought. In John chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says this. John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." As our pastor stepped up to the pulpit tonight, that verse came to my mind. There was a man sent from God whose name was Dale. And I sure am glad that God sent a man into my life. I told you a little bit this morning about going and seeing my brother yesterday and just reflecting about where God found me, the mess I was in. And I'm just thankful that God saved me. And after God saved me, he didn't leave me to myself. He sent a man of God into my life. And on this Pastor's Appreciation Day, I want to say thank you, Pastor. Pastor has been a man of God in my life. I'm not much, but I am what I am by the grace of God and by the help of a man of God. I'm just so thankful for a man of God. I couldn't agree anymore. I couldn't amen anymore what the pastor said this morning. I thank God that he's put people in our lives to counsel us, to lead us, to feed us, and to help us, because I'm just confident that I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it wasn't for those things, the grace of God and a man of God. And so if you can put, being a member of Fellowship Baptist Church, some of you have been members of other churches, if you can put in that place right there, John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was, you fill in the blank, you ought to praise God for it. I'm glad God calls men. While I say that, I can't help but say this too. I'm thankful that there was a man sent from God whose name was Calvin. The night I got saved, I walked into a church lost, just a mess. I mean, just life in a mess, wandering aimlessly, as I said this morning. And a pastor stood up and preached on a Sunday night. God convicted my heart. And in my pride, I got up and I left that church, got out of there as fast as I could. And I went home and was sitting in my driveway at my brother's house, the one that I talked to yesterday. And I was sitting in his driveway just thinking, what in the world is going on? What was that I just heard? And what is God doing in my heart? And I don't remember everything, but I just remember sitting there thinking, I do not know what's happening. My mom called me, and some of you have heard this before, but I'm like Paul. Paul just kept on telling people what happened to him on the road to Damascus, and I just want to keep telling people what happened to me in Rutgersville. God was doing a work in my heart. My mom called me, and she said, what did you think? She knew I was going to church. She knew I was going through a hard time. She said, so what did you think about church? I said, I ain't never going back to that place. That's what I told her. I'm not never going back to that place. And I was sitting in my driveway, or my brother's driveway, thinking, what in the world just happened? And my phone rang, and it was a man sent from God. And Brother Calvin called me, asked me, could he come over and talk to me? And he came over and he picked me up. We rode up the road, and we sat in the parking lot of Ryan's Funeral Home and Pick and Pack store there in Quinquay. And Brother Calvin took the Bible, and he showed me that God loved me, that I was a sinner, and Christ died for me, and that if I placed my faith in him, he'd save me. Amen. It's been good ever since. I'm so thankful that God has men. And God sent a man into my life that night, and then in the coming weeks and months and even years, God put a man in my life, and I just can't thank him enough for it. I thank God for the man of God. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church family.
Amen. I love you, brother.
I love you, Pastor.
Amen. Now God has taken this man and sent him to some that are sitting in this congregation. And God will send those and put them in the lives of others who will one day be sitting either in this or another congregation. That's God's plan. We don't need more methods. E.M. Bounds said, it's not more methods and machinery that we need. We need more men. Men sent from God. Men anointed with power that'll stand up without apology, filled with the Holy Ghost, and preach what thus saith the Lord. This book right here will get the job done.
Amen.
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 Don't have to stand up and put on a show. Just stand up and tell them what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor Brandon, you just go, yeah, you can just do that. Pastor Brandon heads up our young folks, those that have graduated from high school. You know, you go in churches, and it seems like in a lot of churches, people will bring their children to church. Of course, they might have to drag them there. I don't know. Brother Kenny Baldwin said he was drugged. Said his mother drugged him when he was younger. Drug him to church this Sunday. Drug him to church Sunday night. She drugged him. But it worked, amen? He's a preaching machine. With a heart. Let me add that. But I appreciate Pastor Brandon. If you're here tonight and you have graduated from high school and you're 28 and younger, let's do this. If you're in Pastor Brandon's Sunday school class, I want you to stand up. You don't go in many churches on a Sunday night of any size and find single people. Now, these are not married folks. Okay? Now, we're working on some of them. But young people, I appreciate you being in church tonight. See, a lot of people get lost. You may be seated. God bless you. A lot of people get lost after they graduate high school and they wander off, they get a job, and they allow people to tell them you're going to work on Sunday and you're going to do this, and they start following a hobby, or they just, some of them don't intend on it, they just slide away from church. I thank God for young people who have purpose in their life. I praise God that He sent them a man that will help teach them and guide them priority in life. Pastor Brandon, I appreciate you. I sure do. You come and share something with us. Amen.
I appreciate you, Pastor. Appreciate you, church. Thank you for the card this morning. And it's a privilege to be able to serve alongside of, I believe, some of God's choicest people, God's choicest men. Pastor BJ gave his testimony. Brother David gave his. Maybe I'll give mine sometime. It's in the middle. Pastor BJ grew up Christian home. Brother David did not, and I grew up in a home in between. We were kind of in and out of church a lot, but you know, the encouraging thing is God can take you, no matter what your background is, how you grew up in church, out of church. He's just looking for somebody that's willing, and God will take you if you're willing. You want to serve God, He'll use you, and He'll use your background, and He'll turn that around and let you use that for His honor and glory. And so I'm just glad to be able to be used of God. Amen. I'm going to share just a few things with you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I do thank the Lord for our pastor, his influence in my life. I was able to be a part of his church when he pastored in South Carolina as a part of the youth group, probably a junior high, just starting in the teen ministry when we were a part of that church, and was saved when I was 12 years old in that church. And at that time in my life, had even believed that God was dealing with my heart about preaching. But not long after that, my family kind of got out of church, and I spent probably the next six years or so out of church, out of God's will. And through the providence of God, God led me up here to interview for a job, and I was considering pest control. That's what our pastor did. And I was a young man that was married and was looking for a job and a good way to provide for my family. And I came up here and interviewed with the company he was working with. And before I went home, the pastor looked at me and he said, "You know, Brother Brandon," he said, "there was a time in your life when you had mentioned that God was dealing with you about ministry." And he said, "Perhaps you should think about that and pray about that." And I had 400 miles to think about that as I drove back to South Carolina. And the pastor hadn't called me to preach, but God used that time that I was able to spend here to get my mind and my heart focused on what was really important in life. And that 400 miles, I probably cried 300 miles on the way home that day, because God just started to do a work in my heart. I got serious about serving God. And I believe it was probably just a month or two later that I announced God's call upon my life to preach at our church, and here I am. So I thank the Lord for you, Pastor, your influence in my life. There's some things that are important in the life of pastor, preacher, when we think about Pastor Appreciation Day and month. And I, like Pastor BJ, want to be an encouragement to everyone, but maybe in particular to some of our preachers, our younger preachers too. It's important what we preach, but it's also important who we are. And 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 10, as every man, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given us something, entrusted us with a ministry, and we need to be good stewards of the ministry that God's given us. Verse number 11, if any man speak, now that's what preachers do, we speak. And God says, if you're going to speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That word oracles is very interesting. It means if you're going to speak, you are going to speak as the voice of God, as one that would utter the very word of God. And as preachers, that's what we are. We speak as of the oracles of God. And the Bible declares later in the verse, why do we do that? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, because if you're going to speak, and if as preachers we're part of the speaking ministry, the preaching ministry, he said, be sure when you do it that you speak as the oracles of God. We have no message in and of ourselves. We have no message of our own. We have God's Word. God's Word gets the job done. And I am so thankful that God led me and my family to a church that preaches this book. And I tell you what, it was on display this morning and Wednesday night in particular. If you were in the sanctuary Wednesday night, I went away from that service. We just got out of a great meeting of Jubilee, didn't we not? Just a great meeting of hearing God's Word preached. But I told our pastor, and I meant it with all my heart, Wednesday night, to me, was just as good as any Jubilee message, because I went away Wednesday night, and this is not downgrading our pastor. This is a compliment. He would take this. I went away from here Wednesday night not thinking, wow, what a great preacher. I went away Wednesday night thinking, wow, what a great portion of Scripture. What a great truth that our pastor opened up in James chapter number 2, and how James was talking about a faith that shows itself, a faith that's justified by evidencing good works. And that's the goal that we have as preachers. It's not to walk away and people say, you know, wow, what a preacher. Wow, he really did it. The goal is when we're finished, for people to say, wow, what a Savior. What a truth from God's Word. And when I left here Wednesday night, that's what was going on in my heart. And it made me just want to get into God's Word and read it more and study it. That's our goal. And I'm afraid in our day especially, and I thank God for God's preachers. I thank God for the men that we had here at our Jubilee. I believe some of the choicest preachers in America. But if we're not careful, we'll elevate the man over the message. And the ultimate message giver is God. And this is God's Word, and it's not about any one man, it's about the message. So the message that we preach is very important. But I want you to also turn to 1 Thessalonians. I thought about this verse. You know, you can have the right message, but if you have the wrong life, you're going to build with one hand and tear everything down with the other. And a verse that God's used to help me in ministry is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And, you know, there's preachers, there's pastors that, I mean, were gifted. They were gifted to handle God's Word. I mean, they could preach, they could teach, and they got sidetracked. They fell and greatly hindered their preaching and teaching ministry. And I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to any of these men that teach and preach God's Word. The life that we live is very important. Very important. You can be as gifted. Paul said, he said, you know what, I could be gifted, I could speak with tongues, but he said, if I have not charity, he said, it's a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If our life doesn't back up the message, then it's no good. Here's what Paul said, talking to the church at Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, verse number 1. Skip to verse number 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. He said there was something else that came along with the message I was preaching. It wasn't just by words, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now, that's the desire of every preacher. When I get up and preach, I don't want it to be just words, just coming out of my mouth into your ears. There's got to be some power behind it. The Holy Ghost has got to be in it. There's got to be some conviction, some assurance that what I'm saying is the Word of God. And if I'm preaching the Word of God, it should have an effect on lives. It should have an eternal impact on people's souls. Now, how did he get to that? But how did that happen, right? Where Paul could get up and he could preach and it wouldn't just be words, that there would be power and this assurance and the Holy Ghost upon his life. I believe he tells us. Look at what he said. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That was the power behind the message. Was his manner, his lifestyle. The life that he lived gave his preaching power. And the result, verse number 6, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Now, we're in the business of getting the gospel to the world, planting churches, sending missionaries. And the goal is for people to not only be saved, but to become followers. And to a certain extent, we follow God, but there's a certain extent we follow our pastor. And you know why? It's because his gospel is not just in word only. And the messages that he preaches, he has a life, a manner of life that goes with it. And therefore, you have a church. You have people that say, I like what I hear and I like the message, but I like the life that that man's living and I can follow that man. And that's our goal as preachers. So not only have the right message and to submit ourselves to this book right here, but it's also to realize the importance of the life that we live. And, I thought about this, and we'll not turn there. But, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4, speaking of Jesus Christ, that we have a great high priest. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And God's doing a work in your life if you're saved. God's preparing you for what's next. I don't know what's next. God does. But he's preparing you. And something God's been dealing with my heart for the last several months is God's preparing me. Now, I don't know what that's, I don't know what for. I just know that there's something tomorrow he wants me to do that I've got to go through something today to be able to do it effectively tomorrow. And the same thing is true of your life. It happened to Jesus. He's our great high priest. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. We can come boldly to his throne. His ministry hadn't stopped now that he's in heaven. He daily maketh intercession for us. He ever liveth to do that. And it prepared him, the life that he lived for 3.5 years, or his 33 and a half years, 3.5 years of public ministry, all of those things prepared him to be the great high priest that he is to us today. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where God has you in your life right now, but I know this. Whatever it is, God's allowing you to go through some things so that you can be a help to somebody down the road. And 2 Corinthians 1 teaches that God allows things to come in our life, suffering, mountaintops, valleys, all of it comes in our life so that we can, the Bible uses this word, that ye may be able. I wouldn't even be able to help somebody if I didn't go through some things. And it's the same with you. God allows us to go through some of these things. He prepares us to be the type of people, the type of men, the type of preachers that we need to be so that we can effectively help people in ministry. And I don't always understand it. I don't always enjoy it. But God keeps taking me back and he's saying, trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. And God knows what he's doing. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful God knows what he's doing. I'm thankful just to be a part of ministry. Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for just giving me the opportunity to share for a few minutes. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brandon. I love you, brother. I love our assistant pastors. They're good men of God. And their families are good, godly families. And I'm thankful that God sent them to us to minister alongside of me, to minister to you and to this community. And I wanted to give them that opportunity tonight to just share from their heart. I told them, just take some time and just share what's on your heart. And I'm glad I did that. Thank you, Brother Fox, for sharing with us tonight. Thank you. And it certainly was good to have the Fox family in our congregation tonight. We're going to stand to our feet and be dismissed tonight.